It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. A rally is scheduled to begin in about 10 minutes at 6:30 in honor of Jordan Edwards and bring attention to police brutality. The black 15-year-old was fatally shot late last month by a white Balch Springs police officer. The Next Generation Action Network is organizing tonight's rally. It's happening on the steps of the Frank Crowley Courthouse in Dallas. On April 29th, Balch Springs police officer Roy Oliver used a rifle to shoot at a vehicle as it was driving away from a party. A bullet pierced a passenger window and hit Jordan, who was unarmed. His family is suing Oliver as well as the Balch Springs Police Department. Oliver has been fired and was arrested on a murder charge. With less than 3 weeks to go in the 85th Texas legislature, the House and Senate are still hammering out the state's budget, including how much money to spend on public education. The two chambers disagree on where that money should come from. Sherry Greenberg is a professor at the LBJ School of Public Affairs at UT Austin.
The big distinction and difference that has been clear from early on is whether or not to tap the rainy day fund. The House is saying, yes, we should take some of the money from the rainy day fund to fund the budget. The Senate is saying no, and that is the significant fundamental difference that affects everything else.
The rainy day fund is essentially the state's savings account. Right now, there's more than $10 billion in the fund. The Texas House bill would boost spending on public education by $1.5 billion. A Senate budget would shift about $1.8 billion to local taxpayers. Mark Jones is a political science fellow at Rice University's Baker Institute.
People aren't going to perhaps be paying more in terms of tax rates, but they're going to be paying more in taxes. And so instead of, say, maybe getting a rebate or not having future increases, they're effectively going to be paying for more things locally than from the state.
The state's share toward public education funding has gone from 45% a decade ago to about 38% today. Housing prices in Texas have rapidly increased over the last several years, leaving many working families unable to afford a place to live. Today on Think, which airs this week from NPR in Washington, Chris Boyd talked with NPR reporter Laura Sullivan, who investigated affordable housing for a new Frontline documentary. She says many people are confused about low-income housing.
People are afraid when they think that people from a lower income are coming to their neighborhood, that they look at their neighborhood and say, well, the schools are terrible and the crime is terrible and the police have abandoned them. And that's going to happen to us now that they've come. But what ends up happening is that the people who are really motivated to want better and want out are trying to get away from all of that, too. And so when they come to the community, they're ready to join in and absorb and get involved and be part of that community. And statistically, it just doesn't happen. It doesn't change what's going on in the neighborhood. What a lot of people, I think, don't understand was that most people who are low income actually work. I mean, low income in places like McKinney means you're a nursing aide, you're a daycare worker. And this is what we're talking about when we're talking about low income. We're talking about people who are working who cannot afford to live in these communities in America anymore.
The Frontline documentary Poverty, Politics, and Profit airs tonight at 9 on KERA-TV. This episode of Think airs tonight at 10, and you can listen to the podcast at think.kera.org. You can follow along with Think's Week in Washington on social media by using the hashtag ThinkNDC. We are spending a month looking at one neighborhood in West Dallas where 300 families face a June 3rd move-out deadline. They rent inexpensive homes from a company called HMK, which says it can't afford to repair these houses because of tough city codes. In the next chapter of our series, One Crisis Away, No Place to Go, Jessica Diaz-Hurtado visits one family whose roots run deep.
My name is Pretty Mae Brown. I was born in West Dallas. I'm 80 years old.
Pearlie Mae Brown turns 81 in June. That's the same month she's been told to leave her home, and the only neighborhood she's ever known.
I like my little house. I would like to stay in the neighborhood.
She leans against a chain-link fence where clothes are draped to dry, looking at her small yellow house with chipping paint. Over her shoulder, brand new apartments are going up a couple blocks away. There are tears in her eyes.
This is my life. I don't want it taken away from.
Pearlie Mae has lived in West Dallas her whole life. The six-block neighborhood is known as Gilbert Emery. Her grandmother settled here nearly a century ago.
I was born just a block from where I live, and about four houses down is a church.
She was born inside that little church. Everywhere she looks, there's a memory, like the aging blue house down the street where a family friend lives now.
Yeah, I remember this house. My mother used to come here because these were her friends that used to live here. And then they taken it as a store, and then they taken it as a place for the younger people to come and dance in there.
Benny Kilson lives in that blue house. Everyone calls her Auntie. She's also being forced to look for a new home.
We have been here a long time. And most of my grandkids were born down there in that house. Mm-hmm. And so that'll pretty much, you know, tear them up, the scrum, because, you know, we got to move.
Little by little, the neighborhood is draining away. The lot across the street from Pearlie Mae's house is vacant. Her next-door neighbors left a couple months ago. Pearlie Mae and her family have been looking. West Dallas, South Dallas, Oak Cliff. Trouble is, she can't find anything close to the $430 a month she's been paying in rent. Her primary source of income is her late husband's disability check. She lives with her granddaughter, great-granddaughter, and three of her great-great-grandchildren. Four generations in one three-bedroom house.
We just don't want to leave. We don't want this neighborhood to be forgotten.
That's Pearline Brown Harper, Pearlie Mae's eldest daughter. She was raised in this neighborhood and lives nearby.
We want for our grandkids, our kids, to know where they came from.
Leaving this history behind saddens Pearlie Mae. She spent sleepless nights worrying. It got to her physically. She lost 30 pounds.
I was wearing a size 14. Now I'm wearing a 6 in clothes.
One thing that did help, she joined the Texas Organizing Project. It's a nonprofit that promotes social and economic equality. She goes to meetings, participates in forums. Now there's a little hope. Her daughter's hope? That after a lifetime here, her mother finally gets to feel what it's like to own something.
My goal is to make sure that she's placed in her own home before she passes.
That's a dream a lot of the people facing that June deadline share. For her part, Pearlie Mae Brown vows to stay in this fading yellow house until the final day. Jessica Diaz Hurtado, KERA News.
To see photos of Pearlie Brown, visit kera.org/onecrisisaway. And while you're there, you can watch videos of other families talking about losing their rental homes. You can also learn about the history of West Dallas and meet other residents featured in our series, One Crisis Away, No Place to Go. And we have an update to a previous installment in our series. We recently talked with State Representative Eric Johnson, who grew up in West Dallas, about his effort to push through legislation in the Texas House that would help his old community. House Bill 2480 would set aside a fixed percentage of affordable housing and provide property tax relief for existing residents. Earlier today, a parliamentary move knocked the bill off the House calendar when it came up for vote. And instead of Marketplace this evening, we'll be sticking with All Things Considered as it provides special coverage of the firing of FBI Director James Comey this afternoon by President Donald Trump. That's up after the news. This evening, mostly cloudy skies, a 20% chance rain with a low around 68. Tomorrow should be mostly cloudy, a 20% chance for storms with the high near 83. It's currently 82 degrees in Dallas, 80 in Fort Worth, 83 in Tyler, and 79 in Wichita Falls. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.